want you to turn your Bibles to the book of 1 Thessalonians again in chapter number 1. 1 Thessalonians, please, and chapter number 1 in your Bible. And when you find that place, let's stand together as we read our text. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 1, chapter 2 rather. And I want to read verses 17, 18, 19, and 20. I read those last week. I want to read them again today and then bring what God's laid on my heart. I wanted to preach entirely on the second coming today and thought surely last week that was the will of God. But I believe the Lord will let us do that later on, but not today. God's led me in another direction this morning. But we, brethren, being taken from you for a short time in presence, not in heart, endeavored the more abundantly to see your face with great desire. Wherefore, we would have come to you, even I, Paul, once and again, but Satan hindered us. For what is our hope, our joy, our crown of rejoicing? Are not even ye in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at His coming? For ye are our glory and joy. Now may the Lord add His blessings on that. Let's look to Him in prayer and ask God's help this morning. Our Father, I'm thankful for the good Sunday school hour we enjoy and the good singing, the music, Lord. The zeal and the fervency of our people as they sing and worship God, how it blesses and stirs my heart. And I want to thank you this morning for your presence. I thank you, Father, for your help. Thank you for your spirit. Thank you, Lord, for our visitors, the families visiting us today. I pray that you'd bless them and help them. Those that are sick and away from us today, I pray, God, that you'd strengthen their bodies, that you'd heal their infirmity, their affliction. That you'd give them grace, bring them back to the house of God. And Father, I pray this morning that you'd touch the preacher and let me preach just for a little while. You've called me and, Lord, separated me under the gospel. And I pray that you'll help me this morning as I try to preach to thy people, be a blessing to them and to glorify your wonderful name. I pray for the power that only the Holy Spirit of God can give me. Lord, I pray for liberty in the pulpit. That sinners might come to Christ and be saved. And Father, that your people might be strengthened, blessed, helped, and revived. And we'll be careful to give you the praise and the glory for it. For we ask it in Jesus' name and for His sake. Amen and amen. Thank you. And you may be seated. I want to call our attention this morning to verse number 19. Is where Brother Paul in his writing makes this statement. For what is our hope? Our joy, our crown of rejoicing, are not even ye in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at His coming? Like I said a few moments ago, I intended and really felt like last Sunday morning that the Lord would let us and lead us to preach a message on the second coming of Christ. I still trust to do that maybe later on in the book as we continue to preach through it. But I want to turn our attention this morning to Brother Hall. I don't know really how to do this and how it's going to turn out. But I want to try to preach to me and be a blessing to you. And preach for a while on this thought this morning of pastoral reflections. Pastoral reflections. As Paul here closes out this second chapter, he reminds the church once again of his great love and of his spiritual affection that he has for the people in Thessalonica. And as I said last week, I say again this week that Paul's heart went out to those that he had preached to and those that had been delivered through his ministry. And any man of God that's worth his salt will have a love, not just a fleshly, carnal type love that the world knows, but a spiritual love in his heart for the people to whom he ministers to. It'll not be a love that a man has toward a woman. It's not that intimate kind of love. But it's a love that a pastor has for his church. And I'll be honest, I've been guilty in lacking that love. And I see the lack of that in a lot of places where I preach from. Now, the Bible said also that he was separated from them in presence, but not in heart. Upon his departure from them, as he continued his missionary labors, a part of his heart and soul was left with those believers in Thessalonica. And God forbid that I should ever be taken away from Island Ford Baptist Church. I've got some roots down here, and I've learned that to love you, and I think you've learned to love and appreciate Brother Hall. And it would be a sad day in my heart that if the Lord was to take me away from this church and lead me to another place of ministry. And I'll say this, I believe, on the Word of God and on what I feel in my own heart, that if I was to ever leave here, it would be hard for me to give those other people all of my heart, because part of my heart would still be left at Island Ford Baptist Church. I think that is simply the love and the heart that a man of God has for those that he's preached and labored to. A preacher cannot labor among his people and accomplish spiritual levels of satisfaction without putting his heart and soul into the work. I want to reiterate that. A preacher has got to put his heart and his soul into the work. I say without a doubt that for 17 years this has been my life. I've not labored anywhere outside the pastorate of Island Ford Baptist Church. And you, as my people that God's given for me to preach to, you have been my life. The labor that I give and the work that I do is certainly not for myself, but it is for the people of Island Ford Baptist Church. Amen and amen and amen. And I'll tell you, a church will never mature and grow unless a preacher puts his heart into it. That same thing with the secular world. A businessman will never accomplish in business what he would like to achieve unless he's able to put his heart into what he's doing. I'm telling you, I'm seeing a lot of preachers today whose heart is not in what they're doing. I'm afraid that their God is their belly. And when I say their belly, I mean their God is their own fleshly and carnal desires. And they're trying to build a kingdom for themselves. And they're striving and trying, ladies and gentlemen, to build upon the people of God something that will profit them rather than profiting those that they're laboring among. God help us. I'm seeing more and more false prophets crop up than I ever have before in my entire ministry. He'll have to put his heart and his soul into his work to see his congregation growing in grace and following the Lord in a life of holiness and obedience. So I think here in verse 19, we see Paul's great hope at the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is the spiritual maturity and the Christ-like character that is found in the people of God. Paul said, "What is my hope? What is my joy?" And I'll get there in a minute, but the hope he's referring to is not the hope that he saved. What is my hope? What is my joy? What is my crown of rejoicing? Paul said, "Is it not even ye at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ?" Paul said, "I've got a hope that you're going to prosper spiritually. I've got a hope that my labors have not been in vain. I've got a hope that my preaching has not fallen upon dull hearing ears.
I've got to hope that what I've said has been laid to the heart, and that the people that I'm now ministering to can walk in a Christ-like spirit in obedience to the Word of God and have godly character in their life that will radiate the love of Christ to a lost and dying world. Anybody with me this morning? I hope so. Hang in there. There is a hope in Paul that his labors at Thessalonica have not been in vain. His joy at the Lord's return would be the evidence of God's people performing the very will of God for their lives. His joy was not in worldly possessions. His hope was not in worldly achievements. His reward and his prize was not in building a name or making a reputation for himself. But his reward lay in what work had been done in the lives of those people, so that they might truly have a godly character and spirit within their lives. I wrote this down. I'll get to my message in a minute. I'm just poking around a little bit. I wrote this down. As pearls are found in the unsightly oyster, so pearls of joy are found in tasks from which we shun. Well, if you can get a hold of that. I'm afraid so many people today have no joy because they've shunned the task that will bring that joy to their heart. I'll tell you, joy comes from seeing something accomplished. And most people want to draw back and shun a task in their life that once they've overcome that and gotten the victory, will bring joy in their heart. Do you know why most Baptists today don't have any joy? They don't want to take on the task of living a godly life. They don't want to take on the job of really becoming obedient to what the Bible's got to say. I left Sun and Shield Baptist Church in Tucson, Arizona, and it's running about 85 people on Sunday morning. And come to Island Ford Baptist Church and candidated, and the night they called me to pastor, there was 19 people present on the Sunday morning, counting my family. I'm just meddling now. 19 people present, counting my family. And a church building that was run down, I say that lovingly. A utility pole stood in the parking lot where my automobile sits right now. Had a little gravel parking lot that you'd get hung up in unless you had a Sherman tank to get through it. We had brown carpet and yellow pews that were absolutely looked like they came over on the Mayflower. Are you listening to me? And a bunch of ragtag misfits that had stayed here while the rest of the people that used to be here had turned their tail and ran from the job that God had for them to do. And that little crowd that stayed with the stuff, that little remnant, ladies and gentlemen, that laid with God and refused to be run off and refused to die spiritually and stayed with the church are still here today laboring for God. I'm telling you, you'll never find joy until you overcome something in your life that you don't think you can overcome. Anybody can do something easy. But it takes somebody with some grit in their craw to accomplish great things for God. I believe it was General George Patton when he started putting Rommel on the route in North Africa He looked at his commanders and those tanks that they commanded and said, if that vehicle runs out of fuel, get out and walk. We're not stopping. And they overcome the task that was before them. And I guarantee you that ragtag bunch, buddy, when the Germans were routed out of Germany, they shouted the victory. And I'll tell you why some of you have never shouted a victory. Because you've run from everything difficult in your life. Paul looked at, hey, Paul had been run off in Berea and come to Thessalonica, and that crowd followed him to Thessalonica and tried to run him off there. Even stirred up people against him while he was there. Paul looked back at that little crowd as they had grown in faith, and their work of faith and labor of love had been known to all men. And he looked back at them in a letter as he began to write. He said, what is my hope? What is my joy? What is my crown of rejoicing? Is it not even ye at the coming of our Lord Jesus? I say to you this morning, what is my joy? What is my hope and what is my crown? That when the trumpet sounds and we leave out of this world, and God gathers this little crowd together up in the third heaven, that He'll look upon me and you alike and say, well done, thou good and faithful servants. Enter into the joy of thy Lord. Hallelujah. Turn them fans on back there, would you please, somebody? Amen. The prize, His prize or His reward, that crown, that's what that means, that Paul expected when the trumpet sounds could be found in a Christ-like spirit in the believers at Thessalonica. I want you to get a hold of this now. How many of you mothers in here want to see your children grow up? How many of you mothers in here that have children? Buddy, I'm just going to preach to you this morning the way God's leading me to preach. I could jump the pews if I wanted to, but they need to get in the flesh. How many mamas in here this morning would like to see your baby stay a baby forever? Born a baby, live a baby, die a baby, and never grow up. Paul said, as a mother has a tender affection and love for that child that she's brought into the world and has great delight in watching that child grow from infancy to adulthood, even so is my love for you and what I've seen taking place in your life. Surely you mothers have that kind of delight, don't you? Remember when that little old boy or girl, mama was brought out of your womb, you cradled that little baby in your arms and let it nurse, or gave it a bottle, and every time it whined, and you picked it up and crushed it and held it in your bosom and loved it, fed it and changed its little diapers. Then there came a day when that little baby crawled just a little bit, and boy, you thought it really done something. You got out your digital camera and took a picture of that little baby crawling. You really thought that, hey. And then that baby took a step. I've watched every one of you mamas in here, and I've heard with my ears almost every one of them say, every time when you come in and something else has happened, hey, he took two steps. But she crawled a little bit today. Guess what? They're off the bottle. They're off the bottle, and they're now eating a little bit of cereal in the morning. So my baby is walking off the bottle. She's quit wetting the bed. She's wearing the grass in a pair of ladies' undergarments. And she's growing up. And she's maturing. Oh my, what am I going to do now? My little baby is growing. Her body is maturing. His body is maturing. I've got to buy different clothes. I've got to watch him. And oh, how it stirred up your heart when they bought godly clothes and come to the house of God looking like a saint of God. You said, hallelujah. My baby. Where is the delight of a mama? Where is the joy of a daddy? Where is the hope of godly parents? Is it not in that child that has grown from babyhood to manhood? That's what Paul's saying. Anybody listening? God help us today. I'm going to tell you this. It was Paul's hope. And you get a hold of this. I want to get this. As a mother is, so is a child. Isn't that what the book says? Now I'm telling you, come on in the house now. So many times the conduct and character of a child is a reflection of the discipline and the love and the care of its parent. You better hear me right here. And so a church, ladies and gentlemen, is a reflection upon that man of God. You need to get this today, that your character and your conduct, how you act, how you behave, is a direct reflection of the man of God that's laboring among you. He's worldly. He can't expect you to be anything but worldly. If he worships God, he wants you to worship God. If he dresses right, he wants you to dress right. Somebody said, Shelby Wilson's ponytail gets bigger and longer every time Brother Hall talks about it. It ain't no wonder. What is my hope? What is my joy, Brother Shelby? What is my crown of rejoicing? Is it not in the presence of Christ that Christ will look upon Shelby? And Christ will look upon you others and say, the ponytail is gone. The heart that run to mischief now takes our wings and flies to the house of God. The soul that was running for Christ has turned around and fled into his everlasting arms. That lost man or woman that once neglected the Bible now can't get enough of it. That's the joy of a preacher. When his people, when he's done preaching, his people stand up and said, hit it again. Oh, Archie got down there saying it's still the blood on Friday night. I'm telling you, he got that thing down on that last note when it's talking about it's still the blood of Jesus. It covers, they say, covers my sin. Gives victory to me. He'd get down on that thing in a minute. Gives victory to me, and they'd sound out. When he'd stand up, I'd jump up and say, sing it again! Sing it again. Why, Brother Hall? Because that song about the blood and the way it brings victory to a child of God had my heart stirred up. I'll tell you, it ought to stir you and me up this morning to know that we've got in by the old blood sprinkled way. Hallelujah. I preach to you the grace of God and the faith of God and the redemptive work of Christ. Oh, and the intercessory work of Him. I preached to you out of the Song of Solomon. I preached out of Hebrews 11. I've told you every doctrine I know about. And how it blesses my heart to see some of you where you ought to be, and some of you trying to get there and don't know how. And some of you would, but you hung up somewhere. Let me say something right there. We came out of that
tabernacle the other night. A young man come up to me and said, Brother Hall, myself, and Brother Billy, and Brother Joel Gray. The man said, hey, would you fellas come there and help me push this guy out? So he hung up in the mud. And by the good grace of God, Travis Clayton caught me, and I stood and talked to him. I didn't get in on him. Them other guys got a little muddy and a little wet. They went and got behind that van. That old boy tried and tried. The more he tried, the deeper he got. But when he got some shoulder weight behind that little minivan, I heard the tires are whining and the grunts are going. And that little minivan came up out of the mud, ladies and gentlemen. Why? Because somebody got behind it and gave it a little push. I'm telling you, somebody needs to get behind some of our people and give them just a little push this morning. Guess what? We come up on them going up the highway. And I seen they were out of the rut that they were living in. And I rolled down that window. Stuck my arm out the window. Joe Brother Gray laid down on the horn. And I was hollering, glory to God! Glory to God! They started blowing back. Oh, 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 oh. Why? Because somebody that was in the rut got out of the rut. Now I'm telling you, ladies and gentlemen, there's people in a rut that need to get out of the rut. And if you get out of the rut, the joy bells of heaven will ring in this place. What are you? You're nothing but my hope, my joy, and my crown when I get on the other side when Jesus comes. And I've got you fooled. I don't have them on today. Ha ha. Listen carefully. Child left undisciplined, teach itself. I'm going to put it this way. As a child, either left to itself or taught and well disciplined by parents, is a reflection upon a mother and a father. And even so is the spiritual conduct of the church a reflection upon the servant of God. He's carnal, they're going to be carnal. Is anybody listening today? I want you to listen carefully. A reflection of his labors. And man, I'm just now getting to the point, and I'll try to just run through this in about 15 minutes if God will let me. His labors. What kind of labor do you think a man of God ought to do? All some of them knows how to do is burn up the highway. Running around and around and around and around and never get anything done. I'm going to tell you, Paul said, you're my hope and my joy and my crown rejoicing at the coming of the Lord Jesus. Why? Because I've labored among you. What kind of labor did Paul do? He didn't go down there and drive railroad spikes. I'll guarantee you he never mowed the grass one time at Thessalonica. He didn't pour the concrete in the sidewalk, boys. Come on in the house now. He said, I've got a crowd down there, and every time there's work to do, you can't beat them away from the church house. And if they see something to do, they don't wait for somebody to tell them to do it. They just jump in there and do it. Why? Because I've taught them that, and they've obeyed that, and they're walking in the light of God. They're my joy. I'm going to tell you what kind of work Paul done. He preached. I don't know how long these young fellows in here have been preaching. But I'm saying this, I don't care if they've been preaching 10,000 years, and I doubt they're that old. Unless they're hyper-Calvinist. But it's preaching. Listen to what Brother Paul writes to young Timothy. He said, Timothy, let the elders that rule well. We always leave out that word well. Not them that rule, but them that rule well. Be counted worthy of double honor, especially they who labor in the word and in doctrine. I'm telling you, that is the labor Paul was referring to, was his laboring in the word and in doctrine that he might preach to that crowd. Listen now. That he might feed the flock from the word of God. Not doctrine.
Dr. Kidd's charisma. And I hope he's listening. Not telling stories. I don't sit around and conjure up a story to tell you. I do my best to labor in that Bible and in doctrine and preach to you the Word of God that is able to graft in your soul and save you by the grace of God. Mona House didn't mean to kill one of y'all's gods. Your God just died. Mine's on the throne, boys. Amen. Feed the flock. Come on, everybody settle down now. Let's sit down and listen. 1 Peter 5:3, old Peter said, feed the flock of God which is among you. Amen. The maturity of a church is often determined by how well they are fed or what pasture they're grazing in. I wrote this down. Now, I won't care whether you like it, lump it, hump it, or dump it. Don't matter to me. I don't want bony sheep. I want fat, fleshy, healthy. Look at Brother Wayne. He's there. Ain't he looked at that belly, buddy? What do you think the Lord is talking about? And we laugh about this. For the righteous shall wax fat. Healthy. I see some poor, benighted Christians that call themselves Christians that every rib, spiritual rib they got protruding through their skin, and they look worse than those kind that were in the 7 years of famine in Egypt when Joseph was there.
Amen.
And it's because they've never heard that Bible. Old fairy tales, wild imaginations, fable. Now, Faymouth, come on in the house. I'm telling you, folks love Faymouth, and folks like to be entertained by Faymouth. Most people don't like an old red-faced, slobbering at the mouth Baptist preacher to get up and land on the line and tell them that God wants them to grow in grace and knowledge. Not be a little baby. Anybody listening? Two or three of you might be. Hallelujah. Don't want no bony people. He labored in prayer and preaching. He labored in praying. What did the early apostles say? Acts 6, 3 and 4. Wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you seven men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business, but we will give ourselves continually to prayer. And to the ministry of the Word of God. I guarantee you it would shame a lot of preachers if people knew how many, I don't even want to say hours, minutes a day they stayed in the Word of God and in prayer. Pick up Mays Jackson's outline book, Jack Hiles on three ways to get them in. Pick up a sword of the Lord and get Dr. Bottle Stopper's little outline out of it. I'm telling you with all my heart, I wanted to preach on the second coming. And last night, God said, no, right here's where I want you. I want Island Ford Baptist Church to know, ladies and gentlemen, I am not satisfied. I am not contented with some of you sitting on the pew of do-nothing, withering away, drying up on the vine, and never amount to nothing for God. Pull away from everything that takes a little bit of your time. Some of you'd get off the stupid internet a little bit, you'd have some time. Charge you nothing for that. Hallelujah. Pray it. That secret place. I want to see my prayers. I've got to hurry, boy. I've done made some of you mad. I think about His personal work among them. Epaphras in Colossians 4:12. Paul said, Epaphras, who is one of you, a servant of Christ, saluteth you always, laboring fervently for you in prayer, that you may stand perfect and complete in the will of God.
Have y'all quit me? What are you? I'm not going to be satisfied at the judgment seat when God goes away this crowd out. And we've got dwarfs at Island Ford Baptist Church. Where's your desire this morning? Where's your love this morning? Where's your want to? Where's your love for Him? He said the love of Christ constraineth us. I tell you, we can't even get stirred up about evangelizing and reaching out into ministry and launching out into the deep and buying a radio station that some say, oh, going to put us in debt. Well, let God get us out of debt. Well, Rain said, if we die, set a tombstone out front and said, this church died doing the will of God. I've never seen one yet die doing the will of God, ladies and gentlemen. God, help us. I don't know why I'm preaching this. I swear I don't. Somebody said, you don't sound like you love us much. You think that woman left her baby down in Texas and cut its arms off the other day? You think that woman that drowned her five children in a bathtub loved them? Think I'd love you if I'd throw you down in bed with 15 rattlesnakes in it? Did you do that to your baby? On the house, ladies and gentlemen. When there's rattlesnakes around, Brother Hall's going to take a gooseneck hole to that sucker's neck. I'm not going to throw you in bed with that mess. I want the best for you. I want you sleeping on clean sheets and a soft bed. Walking on clean floors and sitting down at a table that is full. Somebody said, you're crazy this morning. You call me whatever you want to call me. I want to see you prospering in grace. Walking tall with your shoulders squared off and letting the world know you're not ashamed to be called a Christian. I bet somebody else said, where do you go to church? You'd probably say, room. Where I didn't hear you. Oh, did you say Island Ford Baptist? Trying to hurry. Really, I am. If we have to go slow, we're slow. May I say the labors now. Get me now. Preaching, praying, and personal work. His labor should be abundant. Get a hold of this. Colossians 4:12. I've already got something I want to say on this. Paul said, Epaphras, who is one of you, known in their own place. Colossians 5:10. Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 15:10. My Lord, I can't see either. God bless his own. Paul said, but by the grace of God, I am what I am. By the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain. But I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God, which was with me. I want everybody to listen to me. Don't die. Don't quit. Don't give up. I know it's warm in here. You want to turn on there? Turn off the heat. Turn on there. We don't want her to give that baby birth right here. Paul said, I labored more abundantly than you all. I had a preacher to grab me in the arm down there at camp. I love him. He said, preacher, you under a heavy burden? Did you look like you under a big burden? He didn't know what it was at the time, but I wasn't going to tell him nothing about it. I said, I'm just tired. I'm tired. He said, you might want to back off a little bit. Slow down. Back off. Quit preaching them hour-long sermons. I've had preachers to call me when I got sick. Preacher, you may have to back off! There's no time to back off! God has bestowed an abundance of His grace upon me, and I will labor abundantly until the trumpet sounds! I refuse to sit down. I refuse to give up. I refuse to turn back. Until the last breath goes out of these lungs, I will have forth the gospel of the Lord Jesus that is able not only to save your soul, but to sanctify
you holy body, soul, and spirit, and carry you all the way to glory. Amen. Don't let up. Hallelujah. His labors should be addictive. We've got a lot of addicts in the world today. Amen. Listen to what Paul said. 1 Corinthians 16:15. I beseech you, brethren, you know the house of Stephanas, that it is the first fruits of Achaia, and that they have addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints. Want to ask something? Have you addicted yourself to the ministry? Or do you pull back from it? I'm addicted, ladies and gentlemen. I'm a church nut. I'm hung up on it. Heard Ronnie Simpson say this morning, maybe we ought to start having church on Tuesday night and Wednesday. Said maybe we ought to have it Monday through Sunday. You'll catch that after a while. Somebody said, my God, that'd kill me. I know it wouldn't kill me, but I like that down at the church house. I'm addicted. You pull me away from my... You pull me away from the church today, and I want to just lean back and get one more little dose of it before I get out of the parking lot. I've had more fun right now this morning than some of y'all have had in your life. Are you addicted? If you are, why somebody had to run you down to get anything out of you? I don't want Christ to have to run you down when the work shows up, buddy. Amen. There's some men that run from the work of God. Oh, I can't do it. If you had ever realized you can't do it, let Him do it. I'll guarantee you'd bring a little joy when you did do it. Amen. What is my hope? My joy. My crown of rejoicing. Is to be able to leave a Lincoln Town Car with 5 miles on it behind when it shows up. Have a lot of money in the bank. I hope I don't have a dime in the bank when it comes back. And I know I'm going to arrange it where if I die before he does, I won't have. Why? For me to live is Christ's children and to die is gain. What is my life? You're looking at it. Look around. Look at one another in the face and you don't see my life. The church that I'm addicted to. Hallelujah. He said abiding. Those labors are abiding. He said that at the coming of our Lord Jesus. And if you can get a hold of that at His coming, you're my joy, my hope, my crown of rejoicing at His coming. In other words, Paul said, what I have, my labor I've bestowed upon you, I'm confident that it will be efficacious when the trumpet sounds and you'll still be effective in the work of God. When the trumpet sounds, it abides. I want you to hear me. No fruit. No root. You got a good root in the soil of the heart of Christ. Guarantee you that tree will bring a little fruit out, ladies and gentlemen. I got to hurry. Some of you's mad, some of you's sad. I'm glad. I want you to listen carefully. You're not only, that church is not only a reflection of Paul's labors, it's a reflection of Paul's love. He said in chapter 1 and verse 3, remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love. Of God. They can become hate mongers of people, our people, with a loving, tender heart toward Christ and others.
I've never mentioned this, but I'm going to say it in case you're involved in it. And I know I'm on the air, and I'll probably get caught for this. But I'm telling you right now, if you're involved in that mess on Phil Kidd's website, get off of it. I didn't hit her hard at Brother Allen, but I did say that men quarreling against one another is stupid.
Men.
And if you're involved in it, you're stupid.
Men.
I'm going to tell you what they're breeding. They're breeding discord amongst the people of God. And he said that is an abomination, ladies and gentlemen. When you pit people against people and preacher against preacher and become divisive in your life, you are, ladies and gentlemen, sowing discord that's an abomination before God. And a man that enjoys that is a lost man. A man that can relish and roll and love that is a lost man. Hallelujah. Come on. Praise God, I'm 41, 1 and 1. Come on, get me. I'm big and tough. I had a man tell me the other night, I said he'd meet him anywhere on any road he wanted to get out on. May not be as tough as he thinks he is. Showmanship and reputation and the Word of God, if it was even the Word, certainly wasn't in the power and demonstration of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
And what does it accomplish spiritually? Zilch. I don't care if He is your God. Hallelujah. Stay with me now. Romans 13, I'm about done. Romans 13, 10, love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Therefore, love is a fulfilling of the law. We ought to love one another fervently. You can call me whatever you want, but I'm going to read you the Bible. Seeing you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that you also love one another with a pure heart, fervently. And I'm going to tell you, back in the 1960s and 70s, and especially when I started getting active in Baptist churches back in the late 70s, I'm going to tell you, everywhere I went, as I look back on it, was nothing but critical, arrogant, proud speaking that absolutely done nothing but create hate and divisiveness in the hearts of God's people. And we are reaping, ladies and gentlemen, what we sowed. When I first started preaching, if you didn't knock three women down in the street three times a week, you wasn't an independent Baptist. Oh, I'm a rough independent Baptist, buddy. I beat the, you know what, I was an 84-year-old woman last week. I know it's tired, it's late. Some of you don't like that. It don't bother me one bit. Now about it, these three, faith, hope, and charity. But the greatest of these is cussing people, criticizing people, condemning them because they're overweight and can't help them, criticizing them because of the color of their skin. Come on in the house, children. Condemning them publicly, openly. I won't charge you nothing for that.
Right.
But I'm tough. I got a rebel flag on my back, too. I want to ask you something. Who was in command? Who was in charge of the country when Jesus was born? What nation? Roman. Is that right? When Jesus was born and grew up to be a man, does there you find anything in the Bible where he says he sowed the ensigns of the 12 tribes of Israel on his robe and defied the armies of Rome? I won't charge you nothing for that. That's not spiritual, ladies and gentlemen. That's pride, and you mark it down.
pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before fall.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
I know it's don't exalt.
We're to love people faithfully. The Bible said that having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. Unto the end. When Peter denied Christ, Christ in no way denied Peter. But he loved him unto the end.
Years ago when I was caught up in some of that mess, and it's taken a long time to get it out of my crawl, but I'd hear of a preacher falling that I knew was kind of the liberal side, you know. Oh, but God, I knew he didn't have anything. It's another stinking liberal. Probably was liberal. But he very well may have been saved. And he may very well be called to preach. And I'm going to tell you, when I hear him falling now, ladies and gentlemen, I don't laugh and shout about it and boast about it. I weep over it. Why? Because we're to love them under the end, folks. Not cut it off halfway at the end. When I get you to glory, I don't want us to get up there and just have faith. And I don't want to get up there and all of us just have faith and hope. But I want us to have faith and hope and charity.
Amen.
You know why? Because charity never fails. It can't. You love your enemy as yourself and love people, it can never fail. You can't. In other words, what he said, you'll never do wrong by loving people regardless of their spiritual condition. Hold of that. We need to learn to separate the sin from the sinner, folks.
Amen.
And I'll tell you, the only thing that will divide us is the gospel.
Amen.
God will separate us, save us from sin. You'll catch that after a while. That was a reflection of Paul's life. Paul wasn't a hobnobber, a diddy hopper, but he was a real man of God that put his heart and soul and life into that. When he wrote that little letter back, he wrote his labors and the work that he'd done, he said, you know, that's a reflection upon me and my conduct and my character and my preaching and my ministry there. And he said, what are you? Ye are my hope, my joy, my crown of rejoicing. I've raised three children. I know I'm talking to you, but I'm telling you, I'm in that mood today and I can't help it. I'd like to jump the pews when the church started singing this morning. I thought I'd be jumping the pews before it was over, but I can't help it. That's where I'm at. But I've raised three children. And I'm going to tell you, I dandled them on my knees. Wasn't always as good to them as it should have been. But I'm going to tell you, I dandled them on my knees and told them I loved them. And it stirred me when them kids begin to get older and older and older. And I watched them grow and stay right where they're at with God. They may have bobbled here, bobbled there. But I'm going to tell you, you know what my joy, my hope, my crown of rejoicing is today? That I've got three children that right now are sitting in the house of God. And their whole family sitting there with them. Now, a man's going to have that kind of joy over that. And we'll have the same joy over spiritual children. Stop trying to put such things. I guess I've said all that to say this. I love you. And I love you so much that I will not, I cannot be satisfied until you're all that you're supposed to be for Him. Our Father,
I've tried to pour out my own heart, my soul, to the people of Island Ford Baptist Church this day. I want them, Lord, to know that I love them and care for them. And Father, that I'll not be satisfied until they're spiritually mature, that they're perfect in the will of God, that they're walking in Thy ways, being thankful, being honest, doing right, being holy, and glorifying Jesus, in whose name I pray. Amen. Page number 3, must Jesus bear the cross alone?